Lauren, Ian's here. You want to ask Ian a question?
Why is wine becoming so popular now? Why does the world love wine more than it's ever loved it before? Why is it becoming such a specialty? Why is sommelierism since 2010 now a prestigious career that before 2010 nobody had ever heard about?
It emulates the expatriation of the blood of the lamb. The wine is the blood, supposedly like in communion, the blood of Christ. So they're all warming up to it.
That's transubstantiation. Is that through the Eucharist?
Yep. Especially in intinction.
What did he say about wine? Or you went, wow. What did he say?
Lauren asks, why is wine so popular? And Ion brought it right into Iondom, saying, well, because it's equated with the blood of the Lamb, and that's what we're all about. Our blood is becoming ascended, which is equated with the blood of the Lamb, so it's all mixed in together.
Blue.
So.
Becoming blue.
We're becoming blue blood.
Yeah, but on the pop culture level, we've noticed that on The Good Wife, on Suits, they're all drinking wine all the time. Mm-hmm. And when they take a break from the dramas of their careers in the TV show.
Right. So Ion, is that the popularization of wine on the media, is that part of its popularity? Or are you saying it's all part of ascension?
Yes and yes, but it's like the song we did ages ago, we're going to hire a wino to decorate our home. If you're talking about just basic imbibing, then that's a touch of it, too, because it's the place where people can be gods. When you get a little tipsy, it takes the edge off and you don't protest so much. That also helps in that as well. So now it becomes another excuse of how to avoid the cares of life.
But that's not new. That's why people have drank since forever.
Right.
What's the difference, Lauren? If you're saying it's a fad today, Lauren, if it's always been, Lauren, what is the point you're making about it being some new significance since 2010?
It is a new significance. Like, wine is more popular now than it has been in the past 100 years, let's say. It's huge. It's going crazy. Like, more people are getting into wine than before. Maybe it's not as big. Maybe it's just a cycle. Of course it's just a cycle. Used to drink wine all the time. All the civilizations, all of Europe was basically built on drinking wine. They say that the Romans made them drink like a couple of liters a day just to keep being soldiers. And the first doping in the world was through wine. And all right, so it's a cycle. Fair enough. It's not new. It's just recurring, maybe.
Are you saying, Ion, aren't we moving out of time and into no cycles? When we get into no time... Time no more. It's a non-cyclical world, isn't it, Ion?
We don't even know what they're talking about at all anyway, so we're even.
So you just give the same answer to every question. It's all about your product.
No. We don't have any products.
I have the impression that the idea of the divine right to rule never really disappeared because, for example, in America, which is supposed to be the land of the free,
and the home of the Atlanta Braves.
And Vestal Goodman.
And Vestal, but that's Fife, Alabama, but yeah.
44 presidents are related to King John the First.
So far. Pierce Hyde is a bigger connection.
Did King John come from me, so everybody's related to me?
Oh, Lord, no. There's not any cephalopods in that mix. There's a few Lemurians, but no cephalopods, Bob.
Yes, I heard you talking about them last week, the octopi.
Don't say anything.
Yeah, they're not from this world, Roxy. Cephalopods are not from this world. And you read about them in Wikipedia. They can't figure them out. They're odd species.
Yeah. Especially the ones in Dougal County.
That's a squidberries.
Squidbillies.
Squidberries.
What is this special?
Yeah, you had to correct me. You, did a, you couldn't let it lie, Ian. You had to correct
me. We just had to. Yeah. We looked down and we saw Garrison Keeler's arm slipping out of non-physical sleeve.
They're squid bobs.
Yes. So,
Bob,
Rocky,
there you, go.
You had a relevant point. Divine rule. It all comes from King John.
Why will they go to that house? How is this house dominating in America? How is that linked to that territory?
La Boule.
Is that a person or a region or a cephalopod? What is a La Boule, Ion?
It has to do with the HMS Charlotte.
So it sounds like a person. La Boule.
That's the connection for your White House with the desk and your lineage that you're trying to prescribe. Because the other one's in Buckingham Palace.
Now, Rashi, you talk about how Ian now is connecting many things they talked about over the last 6 years. The first thing they spoke to us, the first minute, was about the desk.
The Resolute desk.
Yeah. First sentence. Now we're coming up to La Boule, and the people are connected to the White House through King John, and that connects with the Resolute desk. So how's that for a tight thread there?
And who's this Pierce Hyde? Do you know his name?
No.
Pierce Hyde?
No. He's the president.
He was an American president? Yes, Pierce was a president. Now, La Boule was a French jurist, poet, author, and anti-slavery activist. That's who you mean, 1811 to 1883, Ion?
La Boule, yes.
La Boule? There he is. He was a life senator. He's an important part of your French education there, Roxy.
One of the things that always were very interesting to me is how you were presenting the mystery landscape that is not recognized in most metanoias or explanations of what we are and where we are at. And this recognition of the non-physical and the explanation. And, for example, you also mentioned in 9/11 they found a ship.
The HMS Resolute.
Yeah, that's the
that ship. That was the ship.
That was connected to the Resolute desk.
The timbers were used to construct the desk. It was given back to Queen Victoria in what you call 1856. But she didn't care about that. She wanted cotton. She wanted cotton. She wanted the Confederacy to win, the Confederate States of America to win. And she wanted you all to be picking that cotton, pick that, load that bale, cotton in the roadside, cotton in the ditch.
All right, so that's how J.W.'s ancestors hooked into Balmoral, through that desire.
It might have been the Chatham Dockyard.
Okay, but back to what were we just saying before Ian brought up the Resolute test?
The name of the ship.
Oh, yeah, so they found the ship that's known in 911? After 911?
Yes. Under everything.
Really?
Yes.
Is that true, Ian? The stuff before China took it away, it landed on the remains of the HMS Resolute? Correct,
yes.
Ian?
In New Bedford, Massachusetts.
So, yeah, come full circle there, Roxy.
There were also some very interesting, many movements, spiritual movements, in America, but in the 19th century, there was all these spiritualist movements.
Is it movements? Is that putting it to the LaRouche quadrant? And do they move their bowels, or are they just getting ready for an induction?
Well, LaRouche didn't like those movements. Historically, he said they were always inspired by British oligarchs.
The devil and that damn bitch queen trying to put things in their bum. Yes, that's what it always ends up
in sooner or later. Even
many suffragettes, even the first woman that was proposed to be president, Victoria Woodhull, claimed they were channeling and speaking to ghosts. and spirits, and even their speeches were dictated to them.
Okay, I get a point there,
abolitionist.
Rocky. Yeah, this is the time of the telegraph. Is this the beginning of the emptying of the Gulf that the electric environment starts to come in with, the telegraph ion? Is that what people
are
thinking?
That's when you notice
that notion.
Hell on wheels. Yes, hell on wheels.
See, that was the beginning of the thinning of the veil there, Roxy, due to the telegraph.
Yes, and also, for example, James Shields,
yeah,
the senator that proposed that a scientific commission will explore the phenomenon of talking to the dead. He proposed to make like a sort of a spiritual telegraph to communicate with the non-physical. So
There's a very good book by a McLuhanite, John Durham Peters, or it's John Durham, I can get that later, Spirits in the Air, I think it's called. He, as a McLuhanite, he's a professor in the Midwest, went through that period and the confusion or the mixing up of the telegraph effect with the occult. And you can actually read a McLuhan take on this phenomenon, this period you're talking about. And this is when Tesla, under the same impact, went up there to Rochester and talked to Countess somebody, and that's where he got on his way, right, Ion? He connected with the spiritual seance world. Yeah, that's how he gets started.
They started whispering in the ears of the booger man. They started having fellatio with the booger man. That's what it was.
Was Ophanel hovering around this, Carolyn? Or, no, why am
yeah,
I Carolyn? Not Carolyn.
He's had fellatio with the booger man, too, yeah.
Yeah. Well, am I the funder of all the things that LaRouche hates? Am I the backer, the backroller?
That's what your tiny note says.
You're exactly right. LaRouche is in the Rai quadrant, and Bob is anti-Rai, so...
Lofty, right you, Lofty, right you, at you, and Lefty. Yeah, right you, Bronchi, at you, Lefty, and Righty.
Do it, Lofty.
Yeah, well... Yes, but this type of effects of the medium, the message, the message, the mass age,
the mess age. The mess age.
Or at least crack, if not crank. Or Molly. Might be Molly.
Right. Ion, is Ophanel and myself the only public intellectual who dared admit that their research has included investigations with mediums? Is there anybody else who ever did that publicly of my stature?
No, no one else.
Yeah, no one did that. That's what Roxy's crazy.
Except for Seth, and you had to knock that bitch out before you could even talk to her. Poor Jane. It was terrible.
Harold Channer videotapes her, then we knocked her out. That's right.
Basically. Put it on the cassette tapes.
The what tapes?
Cassette
tapes. But she was not a public intellectual. She did not engage the world of Stravinsky and... And
neither do you.
And,
neither do you.
Neoconservatives that I
neither do you.
Oh, yes, I do. I am always going to put on.
Oh, the put on. Yeah, you put on the
put
on.
On.
You put on. You put them on. You wore them out. Yeah, you wore a bread bear. That's right. There you go. Yep. Well, good.
Roxy did the same thing. Roxy went on putting on all these schools of thought there in Berlin.
Yum.
But for some reason, this emptying of the Gulf produced all these movements like the theosophists and the spiritualists that went to influence many revolutionary movements like the theosophists influenced Gandhi.
Yeah.
And, for example, one of the main leaders of the Mexican Revolution even wrote a book on a manual of spiritualism. They were communicating with the spirits. And these type of things are never talked about.
Right. They can't.
Yes.
They can't.
We do not disagree, Ion. We know they can't.
McLuhan says when the microphone... make recording and broadcast possible, that the voice, the amplified voice, can be everywhere.
Well, let me
and
give you a little...
That will be the real mass of...
No,
of
Roxy,
report.
Let me give you a little more better way to say it. The microphone made the radio environment a private bubble. So everybody had a sense of privately communicating whatever the content was in radio in the 30s and 40s. Then the church, the Vatican, brought the microphone into mass, into the church service, and it upset the relations of the Latin as a spoken medium and the relation to the audience. And it forced the Pope, the priest, to turn around. It's really screwed up the
it's
mass.
Warren G. Harding was the problem with that.
Isn't he the president during Boardwalk Empire that Martin Scorsese was outlining, 1921, 22? Let's check that. Or is he 1900?
Yeah.
Warren Harding.
Well, he's in the 23.
Yeah, that's the radio president, Roxy. He's talking about 1922. Warren Harding.
Yes, I noticed technology.
It was a good year. That's when Bob was born. We didn't have this problem when Woodrow Wilson was in office, though, let me tell you.
Yeah, but the beast came forward in the Harding administration. Bob was spewed forth by wonderful
mind. There it goes. Now, this is important.
Yes, he died on August 2nd, 1923. And then 70 years later, on August 2nd, Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, 1990, on that date. Also, it's Philly Markowitz's birthday, and she's the partner, wife of Mike Dyer, who is the antidote to me. He was the guy who did the radio show. And, you know, Mike has engaged, and so he makes little festivals up there in Ontario, all around it, anti-LaRouche stuff. And he didn't like my LaRouche stuff. So actually there was an Aristotelian platonic debate going on right there in CKLN between Mike Dyer and myself, to the degree you pin me down as anything. I was just thinking about that today, Roxy. But Mike Dyer as the intellectual enemy of Bob Dobbs, and we both talked in the same room and the same microphone. We were right around the same microphone at CKLN.
And standing beside the Teapot Dome.
Now that brings in Peggy Mellon, doesn't it? Doesn't that bring in Mr. Andrew Mellon?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. But see, back then, Mike Dyer had the mute button on you.
That's right.
Now
he's
you
the mute
were in control.
That's right. Yes. Very good point.
Bang.
Yes.
Bang. 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 Bang.
And I didn't fight
Walsh.
The muting. I accepted
it. And in Thomas Walsh.
Well, Tom Walsh was the horn player in Jack's band that backed me up at the Beverly Tavern. Is that who you're talking about, Tommy Walsh?
No,
his new
recording. This is a senator.
Thomas J. Walsh.
When you were born.
Okay. See, this is the thing. Now, we're saying names. Roxy will not look into any of these names. She'll spiral off into some other fucking bunch of names that we never heard of, right, Roxy?
And find out which queen rode the railroad on hell on wheels through the bowels of Wyoming looking for the Teapot Dome and the Teapot Rock to find out why it undid Warren G. Harding's administration and where Peter Beter got his money to buy the queen's gold that pissed off the roost the worst more than any of them altogether.
It's true. Thomas J. Walsh, lawyer, Democratic politician from Helena, Montana.
McLuhan said, well, many can reconcile that McLuhan was studying media ecology and at the same time converted to Catholicism. His whole explorations of media ecology came to the conclusion that all these medias were actually to transmit the real mass, to communicate with the thing he saw Chesterton was talking about in his doctor.
The thing, yes. Let's ask that. What is the thing that Chesterton's talking about when he's discussing his Catholic faith?
The connection.
So there's so many connections that the mind hasn't got a category for that. It's just a perceptual environment. They call it the thing. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah. Yes.
And that's how Marshall used it. He used it the same way.
Yeah. Same way.
You see him use the word
yes,
think.
And
we're sorry. We're sorry.
The math he was trying to engage is this engagement with you and the transmutation of the blood. This is the real math.
It's engaging with you is the new mass, Ion?
We don't want to be churchy. If
right.
We get
so
churchy, then we'll be a cult. And if we become a cult, then it pisses off Dr. Dean. And if it's Dr. Dean pissed off, then she lashes out. And if she lashes out, Bob's just sad. Then he has to go to his room. Then he cries a little. Then she cuts off his money check so he can't have no damn ice cream. And then it really gets bad. And then he has to drink double green drink from then on until he gets a squirt. And then he gets a squirt. And then they blame it on magnesium. And then magnesium didn't cause a squirt. It's too much green drink. And see what happens when you get too damn churchy? That's what happens every time.
Very good.
No, but I think the goal of the median ecology of NL is to make sense of all these things that could not be explained.
Thank you.
For example, the interface between the word and the blood to the non-physical.
That's right. That's our rebuttal.
Without actually being a cult. he took his path of median ecology.
That'd be funny if it wasn't so sad, wouldn't it, Bob?
No comment.
No comment.
I like Rocky's brave effort to justify my existence.
Yeah, however... however placating, isn't it, Bob?
However misguided.
However placating, it's always good.
Yes, yes.
But how come, for example, the blood, when we felt change, but the word was never lost its power to connect with non-physical and to create?
That's right.
Which word is that?
The
oh, blood, blood. Yeah, I know. I thought of this last night. Is blood the original medium for little man creating social cohesion because they're little, and maybe non-physical was the first medium, but is the second medium blood? Blood knowledge, blood as a sign of something?
The difference between red blood cells blood. And plasma. Plasma.
That's what the original social confusion created?
The original sin.
Yeah, original sin. Okay. Yeah. Blood as original sin. All right.
Yeah, it's Shakespeare, blood on his hands.
Yes. Bob.
And Bob, when he nervously watching his hands. Yeah.
Bullshit, I never wash my hands. Anybody listening to me knows that. I can't
so
see.
So what will be now the model, now that the other six bodies are obsolete? How can we define this one body, like McLuhan would call it the mystical body of Christ?
Oh, that's easy. The Whore of Babylon. The Whore of Babylon. Whore of Babylon.
Yes.
Yeah, she heard you.
Yes, I'm like, what?
Let's see now. That's spelled W-H-O-R-E.
Yes. I don't understand how from this six-bodied model Bob created.
Because they're not. They're not six bodies. They're not. That's right. It doesn't work because it's ridiculous, inappropriate in every way, and a terrible waste of your energy.
You hear Carol laughing in the background? He loves this.
Yes, but now with the mutation of the blood, you say the new body is the Whore of Babylon.
Yes.
I don't get that.
Why? Or why not?
Because maybe I don't have the right understanding of what you mean by that. Because it's we were talking about the medium is the message, but then I thought blood was the message and the medium.
Medium is the massage.
Said, Jesus is the
it's
medium
the
and the message.
No. Oh, no. He was trying to get you to get loved up.
So what will be this medium and the message? according to you?
Ascension in the divine.
Those are the two terms. Ascension and divine, as opposed to medium and message. Is that what you're
the
saying?
Divine.
Ion?
The divine.
Because that was the goal of all these technologies expanding ourselves. And of all mediums and all the messages was to ascend and to be God again.
Go back to God, 101.
So we invent the radio environment and create R&B so Sam Cooke could come forward and sing the same eternal message.
Over and over and over and over and over. It's like the tiny note chart. Over and over and over. Again and again and again. Yep, that's one. That's a ticket.
What does McLuhan say about this?
About what we're talking about today?
You mean,
what is McLuhan today?
Yes.
Yeah, what does McLuhan say today about what we're discussing, Ion?
He says he's fucking dead.
That's relevant.
Yes, but does he have any recollected lucidity of what's going on?
He never had that ever, anyway. He never had recollected lucidity ever yet. So, no.
Now, Marshall, were you basically a social nerd, a social spastic, social nerd?
No, we weren't that introspectively interested.
And radio was your best medium for taking in information?
Actually, it was good scotch and cigarettes.
Well, the social interactivity, I'm thinking of when he'd go to parties, and if he was tired, he'd just go into a corner and lie down and have a nap.
Yeah.
That's how...
He wouldn't even go in the corner. He'd just lay down there on the floor in the middle of the party and just fall asleep.
Yeah. So what did that reflect, Ion?
Yeah, what...
His interdependence... of not even caring about being at the party in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
The party was for him, not for anything else.
What was the experience that impressed him so much that he converted and went to Mass every day?
We didn't convert. We weren't Catholic. Are you ridiculous?
What did you do? Your notes said you...
You had some experience with the thing.
Bingfish.
Make you explore this message and this medium.
The point of the Mass was the interplay of this census knowing. And that was interesting. It's still interesting. That was the only reason.
Yeah, he called it the census communis. That's
yes.
What census means. Census, that's a big,
yes.
That's the title of Eric's book. Okay, so we got, Roxy, since we have Marshall here, let's have people ask Marshall questions. So, Sheila, you can ask about your paintings. You ask Marshall a question, please, Sheila, if you're still there. A McLuhan-related issue, if you could even think of anything.
Well, I can't actually think of anything.
Good,
right.
You win. We don't have anything to say either, so we are good. It's wonderful. We could talk about the knowing that you knew, that you thought you knew, that you might have known if you knew, but you couldn't know that you knew because you didn't know you could know that you knew. So you knew it all along. Good. Your perception is waived.
484, you have a question for Marshall McLuhan.
Mr. McLuhan, in 1977, you had a casual phone call with Tony Schwartz. I guess it seemed casual to you, but you did reveal you were excited a little bit about an important breakthrough. Quote, an important breakthrough has taken place on that dyslexia business. I've been working on dyslexia with an optometrist, Arthur Hersler, for 15 years. We suddenly realized that the immobility of the TV viewer immobilizes his motor reactions. he gets the sensory inputs but does not provide a motor response, and ergo is unable to read the written or printed word. In watching a movie, the sensory inputs go along with strong motor responses, but there's no motor responses.
Well, basically, your only response is that the way that we're working isn't working.
The way we're communicating, Marshall, you say the way we're working.
The way we're working isn't working. Correct.
Oh, okay, actual jobs are not working. That's what you mean by working?
Do.
That's a good question, Jim.
Well, let me say this. Do you mean, Marshall, that because the TV has immobilized us as a population, our jobs aren't working for us anymore?
Basically, you don't work your jobs work you.
Can I read my Carolyn Dean quote?
Always.
Mr. McLuhan, on November 15, 2015, Dr. Carolyn Dean wrote, "Today, children in general aren't encouraged to do physical activities while both their parents work. Kids sit immobilized for hours in front of their screens, TV, computer, and smartphones. Perhaps their physical energy is being redirected into twitches and tics and repetitive movements that are misdiagnosed as ADHD.
And sometimes Tourette's."
Jim, what's your question from that?
So my question was, does it seem accurate?
It's precisely accurate. The inside out always comes from the inside out, from the outside in. When you compress a modality, it squirts out somewhere else. When you appease one sensory perception or bias, it squirts out somewhere else. When you fix one leak, it squirts out somewhere else. It never is in abeyance. It always has to flow. It always has to flow. Every time it doesn't flow, then it has to break. It will wax and wane until it always finds a way. There is no bound. There is no stretch. There is no hill. There is no rill that will not always acquiesce to the minimalist flow.
That's a very accurate McLuhan answer. He always talked about the inside being extended, the central nervous system extended outside. And the outside, the old visual space outside, went inside. So that's technically very McLuhan-esque what he said.
So we are, at this point, we're feeling this is really his presence. This is really Marshall McLuhan. At this time, it wouldn't be good to ask an ion-type question.
Well, it depends on if you feel the burn or not.
Yeah, Jim, don't make rules for yourself. Ask McLuhan whatever you want to ask.
I know Ion doesn't like to do parlor tricks, but I have this memory. I can't help it. I wasn't six yet. I wasn't in first grade. I was five. I know this because my mother dropped me off at my aunt's every day so she could go to work in Norristown as a lab technician. She took people's blood and put them in a centrifuge. So I was on a dare drive with my aunt, and I have this memory of one morning, me with the neighborhood kids and my cousin Tom, we cross the street from the house and go into the wooded area. And I don't know, in my memory, I've got a garden implement that was strictly manufactured for children. Figure that out. I don't know. The 50s were weird, let's face it. It could have been a hoe. I was chipping away at a tree with a children's hoe. There's other kids in the woods. We're doing similar activities. All of a sudden, emerging from the tree, the whitest of white, a serpent, a snake. It's not that he's just emerging. He's out about a foot and a half. He's on his way. And I didn't notice it. It happened to him in the blink of an eye. And my TV body kicks in. I say a line that I've heard 100 times on the television. Run for your life! And me and all the kids in the woods, we ran. We ran across a dare drive, and we stood at my aunt's house like we were expecting something to emerge from the woods, some monstrous thing. And I blew it, man. My memory. I ran. Instead of trying to understand it, I ran away from it, and it was a fantastic. When I think of white, I mean the whitest white that your imagination can think. That's how white this snake was. And it seemed to emerge from the tree. I wasn't a hallucinator my entire life.
So you're asking Marshall to comment on that experience?
Oh, excuse me. I thought there was a possibility of I am crossing across the hall, opening a door, crossing the hall, and opening and closing another door, and maybe catching Ion in that.
The term of mediacology only applies to a sensory bias. And until you develop the bias, you don't know the difference between a black snake or a white snake or an albino rat snake. So you can ask your Ion, the bill on your chat would answer that it is an albino rat snake or a king snake.
So it was an actual snake, Ion?
An albino king snake, a rat snake.
May I ask one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because you mentioned, and McLuhan mentions the new blood in one letter. What do you mean by the new blood?
Well, we mean this respect is not respective. It's an introspect, not resolute.
McLuhan, are you referring to the altered blood the way Ion and Dr. Dean are talking about it? When you
no, ours is in an introspect.
When you talk about the light, what did you meant? Like the medium and the light?
As a visual bias regarding the dark. We were trying to convey the dark. You can only have dark once you engage the light. So we were trying to expose the dark with light. If you get the light, then you can embrace the dark. It's not so dark.
Nice. Okay, Roxy, let me ask a few other people. Okay, Sheila, have you realized what the game is? Ask McLuhan a question. Or you'll be muted again.
The new electronic interdependence recreates the world in the image of the global village. That was the answer to Sheila's question.
That's a quote you can see in the Mediumism Massage.
We are beyond the global village. What would you call the situation now where we are, we have no time, and there are this knowing of the gravitational waves?
The more data banks record about each one of us, the less we exist.
That's a direct quote, Roxy, from McLuhan about 1977.
You know everything.
Yeah, I know everything about McLuhan. So you asked, what the global village is not even a. There are no occupants of the global village if we're being erased by data collection, Mr. McLuhan. Correct? Is that what you mean?
Schizophrenia may be necessary consequence of literacy.
That's from the Gutenberg Galaxy, 1962.
Do you remember the quote on page 11 of?
Are you asking McLuhan or asking me?
Bob.
Yeah, the quote is, Marshall, either you or Barrington Nevitt wrote on page 11 of Take Today, nature, and he had nature in quotes, nature is still the message, but man is the content.
Most of our assumptions have outlived their usefulness.
That's about 1964. 65.
Well, that quote that Bob just said, McLuhan, that's been obsolete now if we're all in the cloud and we're all data banked.
That's why most of our assumptions have outlived their uselessness.
Okay, so you're saying the statement that man is still the content, you're saying man is not the content anymore, Ion?
Past.
Right, that's where you get the Android meme.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is the content?
The Android meme, the machinic itself, the medium itself. Do you have a question for McLuhan, Barbara?
There are no passengers on spaceship Earth. We are all the crew.
That's a perfect statement from mid-70s.
I thought the Android theme was obsolete now.
It is?
Yes. From
no, hello? Can you hear me?
Yes,
hello?
It is.
Yeah, ask,
yes,
ask
it is.
Marshall,
hello? Hello?
Barbara, ask
one ringy dingy, two ringy dingy, three ringy dingy.
What is the new content if it's not the Android meme?
Well, for Tribal Man, space was the uncontrollable mystery. For the technological man, it is time that occupies the same role.
So, Barbara, go back to your question.
So, are you just repeating things that you said before?
Yes.
Well, I want to know what the new content was, if it's not the Android meme.
The Android meme means that man is not the content. The machinic is the content. Now you're saying that the machinic is no longer the content. You're asking if the machinic or the Android meme is no longer the content.
The name of a man is a numbing blow from which he never recovers.
That's the Rumpelstiltskin effect.
Okay. No, I'm just wondering if Marshall is just repeating things that he said before or if he has a new viewpoint from his perspective where he is now.
We never had a point in the first place. Yes. We've never tried to have a point. We've never engaged one. We haven't ever spoken to another living soul about anything, and that they're still talking about it.
What do you think of the Internet of Things?
Well, the photograph reverses the purpose of travel, which until now had been to encounter the strange and unfamiliar.
That's from Understanding Media, or earlier.
I don't know where to go from there.
Well, we become what we behold. We shape our tools, and then our tools shape us.
That's from the mediumist massage, which is a smattering of quotes from previous writings like Understand Media or the Gutenberg Galaxy. Are you finished, Barbara?
Well, I just want to ask a personal question for Marshall.
No, we're only talking to McLuhan, Barbara.
I just want to know what his perspective.
Marshall is McLuhan. We are the Marshall that is McLuhan. We are Marshall McLuhan.
Right. Lauren, you have a question for McLuhan. What'd she ask? I muted her.
She asked the question of Marshall. Our age of anxiety is, in great part, the result of trying to do today's job with yesterday's tools and yesterday's concepts. That's the answer to her question.
Ion, many skeptics would say you just went on the Wikipedia or some McLuhan collection and you're pretending McLuhan's quoting himself. You're just quoting from Wikipedia, Ion?
No, we haven't put all those in Wikipedia yet.
Good point. Okay, go ahead, Barbara.
Yes. I wanted to know his perspective of the world now from where he is.
We answered it.
Do you remember the answer, Barbara?
If we say it again, we'll just be quoting something vainly out of Wikipedia, wouldn't we?
That's right. So, you did say it, and I talked over it.
No, you can go ahead. It's not in Wikipedia. So you can go ahead.
Yeah.
You're quite the media ecologist, aren't you?
Marshall, what did you say to that from Barbara, that question? What do you make of today, Marshall? Are you jiggy with what I'm doing, Marshall? Can you handle what I'm bringing forth here with Eindem?
Certainly, as long as you don't speak to a living soul about a single thing, you'll flourish and thrive in all areas of your vastness.
I do that. Nobody knows my personal opinion on anything. That's correct. Okay, Lauren, what's your question, Lauren, to McLuhan?
If you say that we're trying to do today's jobs with yesterday's tools, what are today's tools?
Well, your writer.
You know what that is, Lauren? Writer? Do you mean the occupation of W-R-I-T-E-R, Marshall, or are you naming an instrument?
No, you use something to write now. You don't write. You used to write. So your tools are your writer, and that keeps changing. Now you don't write. Your writer is your speaker, because your speaker is now your writer, because now you just say your words and they become. You don't have to spell anything. You don't have to know anything. You don't even know what a participle is or whether or not you've dangled it. You don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you mean. You don't know how to ask it. You don't know where you're coming. You don't know where you're going. You don't know when you arrive. You don't know when you'll have to ask someone if you arrived where you were going because you didn't know. And that's your writer. It's writing your white or your left or your right or your left, left. But then three lefts do make a right.
Word.
So your writer.
Use the quote from Finnegan's Wake. Write words in rote order. Do you see the Finnegan's Wake as a challenge, an anti-environment to the what you just described? Does that train our perception? For the very situation you just outlined.
Well, every society honors its live conformists and its dead troublemakers.
Are you saying that we should stop thinking so much about what we're doing and just follow the writer and just act?
In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is the hallucinating idiot, for he sees what no one else does. Things that to everyone else are not there.
That's from Culture's Our Business, 1970.
Right.
Good question, Lauren.
Were you aware that you are in the wake of Marshall McLuhan?
McLuhan, day 254. Yeah, McLuhan. Were you aware you were in the wake, Marshall?
Yes, and a point of view can be a dangerous luxury when substituted for insight and understanding.
That's early, McLuhan. Maybe Gutenberg Galaxies. McLuhan, do you have an explanation of how your name and a lot of your methodology, at least as a public intellectual, that was described on page 254? How did that happen? How did language know, since James Joyce didn't know you, per se? What happened? Where are you? Come out from that tree.
Logos.
Is that Lagos? Is that Lagos?
That.
It must be Lagos.
Right. You were the first to break into that silent sea, Marshall. You quoted Samuel Taylor Coleridge, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. You just acted that one out. That was a key question, Roxy, about whether he, what he thought. He hasn't got a theory about how language did it. He resorts to silence.
Well, one thing about which fish knows exactly nothing in water, since they have no anti-environment which would enable them to perceive the element they live in.
Okay, little Sarah, go ahead. You got a question for McLuhan?
Yeah.
The answer is our technology forces us to live mythically.
Oh, great. Okay.
Wow.
Perfect.
That fits you, Sarah. The young kids live...
No,
mythically.
I wanted to know
that's
about
you.
The role of Catholicism in Mr. McLuhan's life. The way it's been explained to me, you made a concrete choice at a specific time to become Catholic.
We are not Catholic. We're lovers of the Mass. We love the Mass. That's all. That's
you
all.
Just
Marshall
the
just
mass.
Wanted a free pass to be able to get into the church anytime he wanted. Right, Marshall?
It worked.
He loved the Mass, Carolyn, he said. Good question, Sarah.
So he did use it, or you did use it to fulfill, like, a spiritual need, maybe. I'm curious if the Mass fulfill any kind of spiritual need that you had.
The only people who have proof of their sanity are those who have been discharged from a mental institution.
And I have, so I'm extremely sane. I want to know, were you just exposed to the Mass and felt respondent to it? Or did you experience other kinds of churches?
All media are extensions of some human faculty, psychic or physical.
Yeah, the previous quote about this sanity in asylum was from Take Today, 1972.
And so can we now say that the method is the message?
all media work us over completely.
You know, we spoke to Ezekiel, and he answered all statements with quotes from his own book in the Bible, the book of Ezekiel. Are you doing the same thing, Marshall? We're not getting Marshall McLuhan's
proposal. Are you accusing, are you proposing that we have not the capacity nor the cantled categorical effigy to talk right?
No, I think you're talking right because you're talking technically. You're not bringing in your personal point of view.
Well, all words, every language are metaphors.
I feel like when Marshall answered my question before I asked it, that really does answer that question. You're forced to find mythical.
What
right?
was the question there? What was the question that you didn't?
I wanted to know, what role did Catholicism play in his life?
And he answered it before you said the words.
Absolutely. It was a fine answer.
Language does for intelligence what the wheel does for the feet and the body. It enables them to move from thing to thing with greater ease and speed and ever less involvement.
As for maybe understanding media or Gutenberg Gauti. So, Sarah, ask your question about his Catholicism differently. Get another angle on it.
Do you believe in the Eucharist and the Eucharist's ability to make transubstantiation?
Oh, yes. In a cool medium, the audience is an active constituent of the viewing or listening experience. A girl wearing open mesh silk stockings or glasses is inherently cool and sensual because the eyes act as a surrogate hand in filling in the low-definition image thus engendered, which is why boys make passes at girls who wear glasses.
That's directly from Understanding Media.
That's a parody of Dorothy Parker, too.
Ask him if it is.
Are you parodying the Dorothy Parker adage, men don't make passes at girls who wear glasses?
Some days I wish the whole fucking world would just phone in sick.
Well, I wish it would
is
just
that
explode.
Yeah. Who said
I don't
that
know.
There? Is that Dorothy?
I don't know that one. Is that Marshall or
no,
Dorothy?
I don't know. McLuhan, well, he did say something like that in his People magazine interview around 1975-76. He said, it's such a beautiful day today, as he ate his breakfast, and he said to the journalist, why would anybody go to a job or go to work? Similar sentiment. So, you know, I just played Mr. Berardi, an Italian professor born in 1948. We featured an interview with him on my Facebook page, and he asked everybody to stop working, Marshall. Would you agree with that sentiment? Just stop working?
If it works, it's obsolete.
So you aren't asking people to stop working?
If it works, it's obsolete.
Okay, here's Big Sarah. Go ahead, Big Sarah. You've done a lot of study of Marshall. You got a chance to talk to him. Go ahead, Sarah. You're fucking lucky you came in.
I'd like to know what you think the role of the human soul is.
The student of media soon comes to expect that the new media of any period, whatever to be classified as pseudo, by those who acquire the patterns of earlier media, which whatever they may have happened to be.
Do you think, like Eric does, that the soul records emotional signatures?
They'll be hearers of many things and will have learned nothing. They will appear to be omnipotent and will be generally know nothing.
That's McClone quoting the famous Thoth talking to the Pharaoh that's quoted in Plato that's given in The Medium is the Massage.
Yeah, on about Ted, do you believe that he felt slighted in that he came up with the ideas that you publicized and made popular in the public?
Well, how dynamic. Except a typewriter is a means of transcribing thought, not expressing it.
So, Marsha McLuhan, you have no feelings about Ted's feelings about your work and how it got published.
Correct, because the typewriter is a means of transcribing thought, not expressing it.
So are you saying that Ted just transcribed what you would tell him rather than come up with his own thoughts?
Correct, because language is metaphor in the sense that it's not only stores but translates experience from one mode into another. Money is a metaphor in the sense that it stores skill and labor and also translates one skill into another.
So you would talk with Ted and describe an aspect of your work, and he would translate it into some Aboriginal story. Is that correct?
A light bulb creates an environment by its mere presence.
Marshall's saying he was a light bulb to Carpenter.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you, Marshall.
Okay, Sarah? You got more, Sarah? Good question, Sarah.
What do you say, Marshall, about the sender and receiver are everywhere and nowhere at once?
As the Western world has invested every aspect of its waking life with visual order, with procedures and spaces that are uniform, continuous, and connected, it's progressively alienated itself from needful involvement from its subconscious life.
What's that from, Bob?
These more general statements are either from Gutmer Galsi or Understanding Media. The one he just gave before that about money, there is a chapter on money, so that's probably from Understanding Media. But let's see if you can evoke a more obscure quotes, like the one I like to present. Books were the content of movies. Movies were the content of TV. But the content of the laser beam is the audience of the intellect and its dreams, and they will be scrubbed but good. Marshall, do you have an update to that statement? That was 1968. Or
the constant broadcast and reception of ghostly images via radio and television, according to this notion, had weakened the sense, particularly among youth of possessing physical sense, particularly among youth of possessing the physical bodies and private identities.
Marshall, when you lost your voice, when you were staying with Ted at the beach, how did you communicate your feelings, or what were you feeling at that time?
I am an intellectual thug who has been slowly accumulating a private arsenal of every intention of using it. In a mindless age, every insight takes on the character of a lethal weapon. Every man of goodwill is the enemy of society.
Sarah, that is from his letter to Ezra Pound, June 22nd, 1951. Excellent major letter.
The wheel is an extension of the foot. The book is an extension of the eye. Clothing, an extension of the skin. Electric circuitry is an extension of the central nervous system. Get one.
What is ion an extension of?
Crude mediaecology.
I agree. Ion is an amateur when it comes to mediaecology. Crude mediaecology. Did you get that, sir? That's a precise answer from my perspective.
What was the most interesting recording you did with Tony Schwartz? The most profound recording you did with Tony Schwartz?
Well, in accepting an honorary degree from the University of Notre Dame a few years ago, General David Sarnoff made this statement: "We are too prone to make technological instruments and scapegoats for the sins of those who wield them. The products of modern science are not in themselves good or bad. It is the way they are used that determines their value."
Sarnoff, McLuhan used to criticize Sarnoff as not understanding mediaecology, but there he seems to be saying that Sarnoff is on the correct path there, but I don't know if he goes all the way. I think Sarnoff, he says it's the way you use media. That may not include knowing the effects. He thinks that humans have a say in the matter. Marshall said no. Once the medium is an environment, humans are programmed in their responses, so they don't have a say.
Hey, I just saw the green dot at the sunset.
Oh, that's amazing. Was it very prominent?
Yeah.
Marshall, are you the green dot that we finally saw here in the horizon of a sunset?
It's lost in paradise.
Oh, my gosh. And then the sunsets, I come out here and the full moon is just rising above the mountain.
Very good, Karen. But is Floston paradise? You know what Floston is?
Flotsam and jetsam?
No. Marshall responded. He said, is Floston paradise?
From a movie.
But oh, is it? What movie?
Fifth Element.
So, Marshall, what was my question there, Sarah, that made that answer? What did I ask? Are you the green dot? Yeah, and he said, it's Floston Paradise. Is Floston Paradise? Is he saying yes?
We asked you the question.
So I don't know what Floston is.
This goes once again to prove the point that the ear favors no particular point of view. You're enveloped by sound. It forms a seamless web around you. We say music shall fill the air. We never say music shall fill a particular segment of the air. We hear sounds from everywhere and without ever having to focus. Sounds come from above, from below, from in front of us, from behind us, from our right and from our left. You can't shut out sound automatically. We simply are not equipped with ear lids. Where a visual space is an organized continuum of a uniform connected kind, the ear world is the world of simultaneous relationships.
Sarah, that probably is in mediumism massage, which means it was in understanding media. Or Gutenberg-Gauss. Remember, mediumism massage is a collection of quotes from his previous books with pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm. You have another point?
What about did at Fordham University, Marshall, was important to you, or do you wish you hadn't gone to New York that year?
Jack Parr mentioned that he once had said to a young friend, "Why do you kids use cool to mean hot?" The friend replied, "Because you folks used up the word hot before we came along."
The students that were very engaged with you were very, very engaged, but there was a lot of students that were against you. Was it uncomfortable?
Well, ours is the first age in which many thousands of the best-trained individual minds have made it their full-time business to get inside the collective public mind.
That's from Understanding Media. But he's talking about Madison Avenue, so you bring up youth, he's saying they are programmed by Madison Avenue. So you wouldn't be reacting to them.
Within the Mechanical Bride.
That sentence is actually from Mechanical Bride. That's true. Okay, let's go to someone else, Sarah. Good bunch of questions.
Hello, Marshall. It's Melissa.
Hey.
I have some questions regarding the concept of play.
Isn't it amazing how once the mind is free of emotional pollution, logic and clarity emerge?
I have some quotes that I would like to read you and hear what you think of them. I'm pulling them up now. Bob, do you have any existing quotes or topics on play that you could relate to Marshall while I'm looking this up?
I don't necessarily agree with everything that I'd say.
Playful response. He says that the The artist never works. The artist is always engaged with his task, and it's like playing. So the artist plays, does not work. Everybody else works because they're not totally involved. They're specialized.
Here's the quote. "For play cannot occur just anywhere, anytime, or anyhow. It comes about in an environment which, without being altogether committed, is prepared to provide a dynamic setting that we may call a play context. Such a context is made up of the following components. A, the actual space, qualified by its dimensions and content. B, the individual with his or her experiences, resources, and aspirations. C, pressure from outside. And D, adaptability to change." What's your reaction to that?
The answer is E. We look at the present through a rear view mirror. We march backwards into the future.
All games are pastime, so maybe that's what he means. All games are pastime.
Oh, yeah, pastime. That's a cool phrase connection, pastime. Not past time, like you're passing time, but past time.
Yes.
This article goes on to say, "One can therefore speak in terms of a specific play context shaped by society both in the strictly spatial and in the temporal sense." Marshall, what's the temporal sense?
Well, there's absolutely no inevitability as long as there's a willingness to contemplate what is happening.
That's in Medium is the Passage, which could be quoted from somewhere else. Notice it's not to think about what's happening, but to contemplate.
What's the difference between think and contemplate?
Diaper spelled backwards is repaid. Think about it.
I'm just trying to pull some interesting quotes from this article about play. It brings up the differences between how in consumer societies toys are produced industrially, and they're the source of substantial commercial profit. They are given wide publicity of all kinds, put out on display in glittering shop windows. For the giver, they are a token of wealth and social standing. So this is talking about how commercialized societies really change the context of play, whereas if you're just alone with not as much, your response to playing is maybe more sincere.
Ads are the cave art of the 20th century.
When cave art was happening, were they playing? Develop that a little more, like within the context of the cave art, not so much the modern 20th century. I guess I didn't have a specific enough question there.
Right, didn't have enough. Ooh.
Someone asked me if I really believed that there was life after death, and I replied, "Do you really believe that there's life before death?"